the kind words, and I appreciate the teaching in which I've had growing up under the sound of the gospel, and the teaching that has been taught to us throughout the years. And I believe it's extremely important for our parents to teach their children about the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible very strictly encourages us to do that. It's our responsibility, it's our privilege to be able to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I hope and pray that Christy and I will be able to do that with our children to the very best of our ability. And but I do ask for your prayers today as I try to preach the things that the Lord has put on our heart. I'm not worthy to stand here, not worthy of the gospel in which I was called into some 12 years ago, but I am thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the calling of the Lord, and just ask for your prayers today that God would receive all the honor and glory. If you're here today and you're lost, or you may be outside and you realize that you're lost. Being lost is simply separated from God. And if you feel that condemnation, conviction, the burning of your soul that God is letting you know that you need salvation, I encourage you to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near today. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn, we want to start out reading in 2 Peter, the third chapter, 2 Peter, the third chapter, a very familiar verses of Scripture, and we want to begin today with the first verse. Second Peter, chapter 3, beginning in the first verse. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Amen.
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That was reading 2 Peter, the entire third chapter, with the mistakes we may have made. And what a warning that it gives out to all of us. Not just those that are lost, but I believe a warning to us that are saved of how we need to be about the Father's business. My message today that God has put on our heart is we need you. We need you. Now, I don't know your heart today. I don't know if you're lost and separated from God. I don't know if you're saved. But I want you to know that we need each and every person we can get in the Lord's army and in His service. We need you today. And that's what Peter was trying to get these brothers and sisters to understand, was we need your help. When we have struggled hard, there's an old song we like to sing. It says, brethren and sisters, pray for us that the Lord would send His holy manna down. That we might have what we stand in need of to be able to preach the gospel. I believe it was even the Apostle Paul said, brethren, pray for me that I may have boldness to be able to stand and proclaim the gospel of Christ. We need to have the help of God's people today. And if you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know that we need you, but it takes you getting saved before you can begin to work for the Lord. Before you can begin to have a service for the Lord. Who do we need today? I believe we need all ages. This revival was set aside for a youth revival. And you say, well, you're getting way off of these Scriptures today, but I want to focus, if I can, on the fact that God has let us know that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You may look at your life today and say, well, what good am I? What good can I do? I remember being saved at such a young age. That's something that Satan will try to put against you. That you're too young to do this, or you're too young to do that. I felt the same way when I was called to preach. But you know, I think Satan a lot of times is using the fact that folks get a little older sometimes, and we try to use that as a crutch and try to use that as something as an excuse not to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. But I want you to know today that we need you. And you don't realize how bad we need you today in the Lord's service. Each and every one of you today. You may be and separated from God. I don't know your heart today, but I know the Lord knows what you're going through. He knows the things and struggles that you have. Now we can see how that Peter was talking to the God's people here, and I believe it was a warning for those that were lost as well. But he starts out by reflecting on what had happened. How that the world was created, and it was created in a perfect and holy state. We know that. It was beautiful beyond measure, and man sinned, Adam sinned, and the world began to be full of wickedness. We can read in Genesis that the thoughts of man were evil continually, and there was all the time there was bloodshed and evil continually. And Peter was sending out a warning saying, look at what happened with that old world. You see, there was a man. There in Genesis, if we can turn and look, we'd like to reflect on these things as Peter was asking us to do. There was a man there that the Bible says found favor in the sight of the Lord. I don't really know the full extent of that, but I believe there's some people here today that found favor in the sight of the Lord. You say, well, I'm not much use for anything. You're valuable to the Lord. You are valuable to God's service today. But Noah, do you realize how old Noah was? When the Lord said, Noah, I need you to build me a big boat. You realize how old he was? He was at least 500 years old. 500 years old, it says he begets Hashem, Ham, and Japheth. There at the last verse of the 5th chapter of Genesis, that Noah was 500 years old when he had those children. Now, I don't know how it'd be to be 500 years old. You say, well, it was different a time then? No, I believe it was the same exact time still that you and I have. But there was a beautiful way that God protected this earth. He had divided, in my understanding, according to the first book of the Bible, is it had never rained before, and God had a protective barrier around the earth, and it was a beautiful climate, allowed, I believe, for dinosaurs to be able to thrive. We know that they were great giants in this time period, and there was a wonderful protection around this world, and man could live a pretty long time. I believe it was Noah's grandfather, Methuselah, that lived to be the longest that anybody ever lived. And you know, I didn't even realize this the other day. Did you know that Methuselah, he died the same year that the flood had happened? I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but he was 969 years old when he died. That's a pretty old man, the oldest man that we know to be recorded in history. But Noah, he was 500 years old. The Lord said, Noah, I want you to build an ark for me. Gave him instruction of how he needed to build it. And Noah said, no, I'm just too old. I'm just too old to be able to do this. I believe Noah was feeble, just like many of you and I may be today. Noah may not have been able to just go through in the ages we do today, because I believe we age a lot quicker than they did, but I believe he still had pains and struggles just like you and I have. I feel like when he got tired. As he was picking up that hammer and working, he got tired from time to time. As he was trying, the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible also lets us know later on there, in the 7th chapter, that Noah was 600 years old when God said, all right, Noah, it's time that you get up and you get into the ark. It's in the 6th verse of the 7th chapter of Genesis. 600 years old. My mind can't even fathom being that old. I'm only a 27-year-old man. I can't fathom being that old. But you know what? He was still serving the Lord. So what did he do? He said, all right, family, it's time we get on the ark. And I'm sure his heart was broken, because the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. He had preached for some 100 years. I think I get discouraged sometimes when I preach for an hour, when I preach for a few months or a few days, and I get wore out. No, I preached for 100 years. So around about that time period, and little do we know, there wasn't a lot of people, according to who got on the boat, that were saved. We don't need to be discouraged. We just need to keep doing our thing. And Noah was serving the Lord, doing what God had called him to do, and it preserved life for you and me today. You know, if Noah had followed the Lord, where would we be today? Where would you and I be? But we are generations later in his lineage. And God was making a way for you and I to be saved. The next one we want to go to is in Genesis the 17th chapter, if we can. A few years after that had transpired, and different years had passed by, man had made a lot of mistakes. We know about the Tower of Babel. Heard about that a little bit last night before church, and how that man's language was scattered throughout all the earth because they were trying to figure out a way to get to God by building a big tower and get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is still the only way. But here in Genesis, in the 17th chapter, in the first verse, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old. 90 years old. Anybody here today 90 or older? Probably not. I don't see anybody's hand shooting up. But Abram was 90 years old when God began to speak to him at this time. He spoke to him in the past and told him where he needed to go. It says, when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God was making a covenant with Abraham, telling him about the seed that would come through his lineage. And Abraham, you know, he still questioned God and kind of said, Lord, how in the world is this going to be possible? I'm 99 years old. How are these things going to come to pass? But you see, God is in control of these things. In the 17th verse, it says, Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? You know, I can't fathom these things. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. I believe he was talking about Jesus that would come through his lineage. That seed that would come in the heir of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the man Christ Jesus that would come. So God promised what he was going to do. And you know, when God makes a promise, you can bank on it. God promised that he would send forth and allow a child to come forth from Abraham. It says in the 21st chapter, in the first verse of Genesis there, And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, and God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Is God done with you yet? Is God done using your life? God wasn't done with Abraham yet. God had a plan for him that would be a plan that would go even to reach thousands of years later. I don't know what God's plan is for your life, but I know we need your help. You are valuable to the Lord's service. You may be 100 years old today. If you've never been saved, God wants to save you and to use you for His honor and His glory. And if you have been saved, stop using the excuse of I'm too old, or I'm too young, I'm too little, I'm too big, I'm too small. God can use every one of us, and He needs to use every one of us, because it brings Him honor and glory, and He takes the weak ones and He takes the feeble ones, and it shows His might and His power and His strength. God was using Abraham in such a mighty way. You know, Isaac was born, and we know that even after that, Isaac was just a young lad. God told Abraham to go on up to the mountain and offer thy only son on the mountain. Offer him up to me. Abraham, he didn't just sit around and say, Well, Lord, we need to figure this out. He said the next day he rose. He grabbed the wood for the sacrifice and took Isaac. And Isaac looked up. Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, The Lord
provide himself a lamb. I believe he was teaching him about Jesus even at a young age. Abraham was over 100 years old, still talking about Jesus. Do you think it was hard for him to get up a mountain? I believe it was. He probably had to have Isaac help him. But he continued to go on up. Isaac laid there on the altar, bound up. And Abraham was getting ready to take his life, knowing that God would raise him up from the dead. He had given him a promise. When God promises something, it's as good as done. And God knew, Abraham knew. So he took his only son, and God stayed his hand and said, I've seen you. You're going to follow me. I've tested. The Bible says the word is tempt, and I believe it means tested Abraham. Because the Lord won't tempt anybody, but He'll test us sometimes to see if we're going to follow the Lord or not. And so Abraham followed the Lord, and God provided a lamb caught in a thicket to be able to offer up on that sacrifice. I don't know what God has in store for your life. I don't know. He may, there's even been preachers that have been called to preach well up on years, and they have been made such a wonderful impact on the gospel cause. There's been people who haven't been saved until well up in their life. One brother I can think of that I love very dearly, his name is Brother Ronnie Pitts, and his wife prayed for him for years and years. She would carry the children to church, and they weren't. He wouldn't come. He'd just sit back at home, he'd find something to do, go mow the yard, go find something. And God saved his soul back in 2001. He's now a deacon of the church and in service for the Lord, a wonderful church member. He never misses a service. And God can do mighty things. Don't give up. You need to keep pressing on. We need you. We need them in the Lord's service.
Amen.
Isaac, because he was brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, loved the Lord. Abraham had taught him, Abraham and Sarah had taught him about the Lord, about what it means to follow the Lord, about what they need to do. And you know, Abraham, he had to wait till he was 40 years old to marry Rebekah. There's a lot of people. Isaac did, I apologize. Isaac had to wait till he was 40 years old before he married Rebekah. There's a lot of people who struggle with finding the right mate to be with them for the rest of life. And they are waiting for that right person. And they get discouraged sometimes. And you know, it is discouraging as you try and seek the Lord's will for your life. You're trying to wait and pray about it. You know, Isaac, he was praying about it. I believe that. And the Lord showed him of who he was supposed to be with. We know here that it says in Genesis, the 25th chapter and the 20th verse, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padarim, the sister of to Laban, the Syrian. So we know that Isaac didn't get married till he was 40 years old. People would just be, there's a lot of people who'd be really tore up to have to wait that long. I probably would have been too, to have to wait that long. But you know, even after that, says in the 21st verse, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. That's the same thing that happened with us. We weren't able to have children when we entreated the Lord. We prayed, you prayed, God's people prayed, and we only had to wait some 2 years. You know how long it was before Isaac and Rebekah had children? 20 years. They prayed and waited for the Lord. Isaac was 60 years old when those children were coming forth. But you know what? God had made a promise. He said, there's a man coming out of that lineage. So Isaac prayed. And he just kept serving the Lord. Kept being being diligent in this service for the Lord. It says there in the 26th verse of that same 25th chapter, talking about those children. Well, let's go to the 24th verse, because of who was in her womb, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. That means he was 60 years old. God still had a plan. He still has a plan for your life today. I don't know what He's got in store for you, but He wants to use us, and He wants to use us in a mighty way. Jacob there, he had 12 sons, and God allowed those 12 sons to grow and prosper. We know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel because he was becoming a father of many nations, of the children of Israel, and those 12 children ended up in Egypt because Joseph, one of the youngest children there, he went into Egypt because his brother sold him into slavery. Even though he was a young man, it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old, God can still use your circumstances for His honor and His glory. And Joseph was sent into Egypt to spare, I believe, the lives of that lineage that would be coming forth. He was making a way, even though Joseph, no doubt, when he was down in that dungeon, was so weary about where he had been, how his brethren had sold him into slavery. God brought him out to be a great man of power, where he ended up being next in line to the Pharaoh. And then 400 years after those children of Israel were in Egypt, God sent forth another man by the name of Moses. You know, Moses, he was at a time where they were Pharaoh. He looked around at the Egyptians and he saw how that the children of Israel, they had gotten so great and mighty, they were greater than the children of Egypt. And he didn't like it. And so he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to make a decree that if any of those little Jewish, any of those little Israelite children are born, then we need to take the men's lives. He said, you can allow the women to be born, but take the little boys' lives when they come through. He told the midwives that. But you know what? His mom and dad did. They hid Moses for 3 months until they couldn't hide any longer. His mother took him down by the river and put a slime in that little basket there and put him out on the riverside to where Pharaoh's daughter might be able to see. She was out of her baby because God had a plan in this. He had a plan in all of this. And so Pharaoh's daughter plucked the child out. She heard him crying, and Moses became a child of Pharaoh. God had a plan in all of this. What magnificent plan that God had. He even allowed for Moses' mother to come and nurse him. Moses' sister was standing by and said, do you want me to call a Hebrew nurse? And the Pharaoh's daughter said, absolutely. Call that Hebrew nurse. I'm paraphrasing. You can turn there and read it if you need to. Stephen gives a real good account in Acts the 7th chapter in the 20th verse. But you see, Moses was in God's plan.
Amen.
So when he was 40 years old, he looked out, and I believe the Lord had let him know that he was going to do something. He was going to deliver the children of Israel. There was something. He may not know exactly what was going to happen, but God was going to use him. He saw out there. I just want to turn and read some of it. We want to look at it if we can. Acts the 7th chapter. In the 20th verse, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian. That's what the Scripture will bear out and let us know that back in Exodus. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses at this saying was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, that means Moses was at least 80 years old, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. There may be some folks here today that are 80 years old, but you know you can still pass by an old burning bush, and God can still come to you and say, "Moses, take off the shoes where you're standing, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. God wants to use us, no matter if we're 80 years old or 8 years old. God has a plan for us, and He had a plan for Moses." And so you know what Moses did? He tried to make excuses. If I was in Moses' shoes, I'd probably say, "Lord, I'm 80 years old. How in the world are you going to take me to go up before Pharaoh, the greatest man pretty well in the world right now today, and to convince him to let my people go?" But you know what Moses said? He said, I can't talk good. I'm slow of speech." So God said, "All right, well, I'll take care of that. There's Aaron. He'll go with you. He'll stand right beside you. The Lord doesn't want to send us out to battle alone. He's always sent help along the way. First of all, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll be with you. He'll help you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But you've got brothers and sisters that want to help you out along the way." When God told them, "I call them to preach," I am so thankful for all the brothers that came and put their arm around me with an encouragement and let me know if there is anything that they can do to help me, that they'd be there for me, to encourage me. Don't give up the fight. Don't give up. We need you. We need to stress that to each and every person that's been saved by God's grace. We need you. We need your help. So God sent Moses, even though he was 80 years old at least, in a mighty way to be able to deliver the children of Israel. And even though they were chasing bats behind him, Moses at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, as they went into the wilderness for 40 years. God was with them, leading them and directing them and guiding them. 40 more years. An 80-year-old man for 40 years wandered through the wilderness leading the children of Israel because God was with them. God had a plan. God wanted in that lineage throughout those children of Israel that somewhere in that lineage there would be someone that would come by the name of Jesus. God had a plan in all of this. Later on, there's a young man named Joshua that God had sent forth, that God was using in a mighty way, and he was with the children of Israel, and he would go out, he would fight with such strength and such power because he trusted in the Lord. He went with God. He served the Lord. You know, I've always thought for some reason in the back of my mind that the Scripture I'm about to read, I always just thought that Joshua is for them to renew the covenant with the Lord and to stay close with the Lord. But you know, Joshua, in this account, he was an old man. Joshua, the 23rd chapter. Joshua, chapter 23. In verse 1 says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." Says he called for the elders there. He was making a final address. And I want to skip on over in his final address as he's making there in the 24th chapter and the 14th verse. Now, Joshua, keep in mind, was an old man. But listen to the power in which he preaches and teaches to those people, letting them know how important it is to stick by the Lord. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, for the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Me and my house will serve the Lord. I hope when I near the end of my life that I will still stand up and say, "For me and my house will serve the Lord." I don't care if I'm 110 years old like Joshua at the end of his life was. He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord."
Amen.
That's what it's going to take. We each have to choose you this day if you're going to serve the Lord. There is a count in Deuteronomy. There a blessing and a curse was set before the children of Israel to choose whether or not you want to serve the Lord or go the other way. He said it before us once again today. Are we going to serve the Lord? I'm glad Joshua was. He warned the children of Israel. And they said, the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua warned them, said, "It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But if you're saying you're going to do it, you better do it. A vow that we make to the Lord, you better keep it. Because the Lord remembers. I might forget a promise you make to me. God doesn't. The promise that I made to Him as a little 7-year-old boy, as I was seeking Him for the salvation of my soul, when I said, 'Lord, I'll do anything,' that promise He'll never forget. He brings it to my attention quite often. He did when He called me to preach. He does many days. You told me you'd do anything if I'd just save you." So Joshua warned them, and he said, "Let's set up a memorial. Let's set up a memorial." In the 27th verse, Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. You know, Joshua didn't give up. He just kept serving the Lord. Don't give up. Just keep pressing on. You say, "I don't know what good I am or what I can do." God can use you in more ways than you can even imagine. He can use you with such power and such might, just like He did these brothers and these sisters, the patriarchs, the Hebrews talks about, those ones who look for a city who had the foundation that was built by God. They recognized and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims just passing through this world. God has given us a warning in the New Testament, Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, in the 14th verse, of what we need to do. He says, "Wherefore He saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." If we've just been sleeping on the Lord, you say, "Well, I've been saved a long time." Yeah, but unfortunately, there's a lot of sleeping Christians that are sleeping on the Lord and not doing the very best that we can. Just going through the motions is not enough to preserve the gospel for future generations to come. It's not. You've got to put forth some effort. We've got to put forth some strength for the Lord and some might for the Lord. What's the Bible saying? Jesus gave us the greatest commandment. He said, "Love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and all thy strength with everything you have. Give it all to the Lord." Everything. I'm sure I misquoted that. We can turn to Matthew if we need to clarify. But God is meaning, give it all you got, is what He's saying. Redeeming, see them that ye walk circumspectly. We need to walk on guard. We need to be ready. That's what Peter was saying, wasn't he? At the very beginning of our text, that you need to be ready because the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. We need to send out a warning. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means now. When is the accepted time for salvation? Right now is the accepted time. According to the Corinthian letter, now is the day of salvation. There's not another opportunity. You may not have another opportunity. Right now is the one that God has afforded you. Us that are saved, right now is our time. Playing sports and growing up, especially in football, you were encouraged that right now is the time to step it up. You either step it up now, or the other team coming at you will. Satan is stepping up his game. We can see it all around this world. We see the sin that's growing rampant across this country. We see the condition of our country as the candidates come forth for the presidency of the United States. And all we can do is look at the condition of our country and of our world. Satan has stepped up his game. It's time for us to stand up for the cause of the gospel. What did Paul write to the church in Ephesus in the 6th chapter? He said, "You put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to do something." He said, "That ye may be able to stand. And having done all to stand." I may not be able to do much, but if I can stand for the cause of the gospel, then just maybe someone else behind me will be able to hear about it. Maybe, just maybe, for future generations that come, they will get to hear about a Savior named Jesus that came and bled and died that they could be saved. But if I don't stand, they won't know about the truth. If you don't stand, they won't know the true way of salvation. God wants to be with us and help us.
Amen.
You're here today, you say, "Well, I'm old, I'm young, I don't know what to do." In Titus, in the 2nd chapter, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Let's get the truth and let's get it right. Let's get in the gospel and let's study. Let's find out the truth that has been handed down for generations. Let's study it out, not just so we know what we're preaching, but so we can feel it, so we can live it. that the aged men, those that are older, be sober. They be vigilant, grave, temperate. We need to be moderate in a lot of things. And the Lord wants us to be careful that we don't live a worldly life. You know, a lot of older folks, they put forth a really good example for the younger people like me of how we need to live. I'm so thankful for you.
Amen.
Any example in which you have set before. You know, most children nowadays don't even know how to act because there's not good examples set in front of them of how they need to. You can't blame a 5-year-old child for acting like they do. You need to look at some responsibility of the parents that were set before them. Somebody has to take responsibility. The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, or in love, and in patience. Also, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. If we want this country to get better, that's what we need. We need the family unit to be established as strong as it ever was. The church needs to be stronger than she ever was. And she needs to stand up for the truth. Parents need to love their children. Husbands need to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives need to love their husbands and respect their husbands. Not all husbands are going to make every decision right, but they should still respect them and love them. And the husband should love the wife and respect her too. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I don't think he's saying that husbands need to be a king in their house either. I think they need to treat their spouse with respect and love and humility as well. The Bible says treat her as what she is, as just like Jesus does, as His beautiful bride, that He loves her so diligently as His own body. You're not going to treat your own body bad. You don't need to treat your wife bad either. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part, our enemies, those that are against us, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. If we stand for the truth, they can throw as many darts as they want against us. The truth is the truth. And it will stand when the world is on fire. We need to stand for it. I don't know how old you are today. It doesn't really matter. Here today you're lost. We need you to seek the Lord, and you need to seek the Lord in order for salvation. If you're here today and you're saved, we need you. We need you in the Lord's service. Please follow the Lord. Please do what God would have you to. There is a day that's coming, just like it was that Noah preached and the people didn't listen. There's still a day coming that'll come as a thief in the night. We may preach it for 100 years. We may only get to preach it for 1 year. Nobody knows the hour of the day. Only the Lord does. But we need to be ready. He calls.
that we have been in the center of His will, doing the very best that we can. Thank you for listening to us today. If we can, let's have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord while you've got time and opportunity. If you're here today and you're saved and God wants you to say or do something, mind the Lord today. It's the Lord's service. Thank you for listening to us today.
Way more than what you think. And And I'm so thankful for the good message and all the encouraging words. Is there a word, testimony, or a need on anyone's heart before we go any further? I want us to come around and shake hands with each other, but I felt like we need to ask if God is knocking upon your heart to say to you something today. Thank you all.
I appreciate it. I appreciate what the preacher is saying. Thank you, Tim. That's very important to my life. It's been proved.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Lord. Appreciate these words. Anyone else? Amen. This morning we listened to our son-in-law and preached on Abraham growing up and offering up Isaac as a sacrifice to come to church, and my son touches on the same thing. But you know what? He didn't have to sacrifice which he was going to. But he had enough faith in God to know that if he, when God makes a promise, he doesn't forget it and he fulfills that promise. He knew that if he took Isaac's life, that's the Lord to raise him up, because he promised that through Isaac's lineage, we would have what we have here today. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church. And that was the covenant that he made. And I'm so thankful that he was obedient to that. And that's what God wants. He wants obedience, because it is far better than sacrifice. So be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. Anything on anyone's heart? If not, brother, yes, let's continue singing. Let's come around, shake Brother Luke's hand, shake hands with each other, pray for one another. Altar's always open, even here at the handshake. If you feel that you need to stop and pray, we'll stop and pray with you. As we continue singing, let's come around, shake hands with each other.
You're on for it, please.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
bright shining air.
He heart and the leader tonight. Lord, you pray for us. You chose us on that you love. Special place, God. Don't you know what right, Lord? You pray for us with your hands.
Amen.
Let me see everyone. We thank you for the opportunity to run our lives. It's been a privilege to be here.
Thank you. Anything else on your heart?
Well, thank you for coming today.
Remember, service is tonight at 7 o'clock. We usually have service at 6. It's going to be 7 tonight because of the revival. That's what we've announced in our bulletin. We invite everybody to come back. Again, please pray for us. Pray for Lou. We have the revival starting up again. We thank everyone for coming. Thank you, Sister Dean, for coming to camp for us today. Coming to be with us. Invite you all to come back. Again, please pray for us. Pray that the Lord will send the help that we need here. I'm sure that God will be faithful if we need to believe. Well, I ask a blessing on the food and ask a benediction at this time for anybody that can stay. And we'll be glad for you to do that. Brother Cherry Park, pray for the benediction and blessing on the food, please.
Father Adam, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we've received today. We thank you, Lord, for the message that we've heard and for the one that brought it. Lord, we ask you to give us your spirit throughout this week to be with us, give us guidance and strength.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you, Lord, bring conviction upon the law and be involved here today that they might turn to you.
And yes, Lord.
Repentance, salvation of our souls. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that's been here tonight, today, that's helped out. Piano players and singers. We thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the food that's downstairs that we're about to partake in. We ask you, Lord, to bless it and nourish it for our bodies. Lord, hear the prayer request that's gone out today. The revival's going on and what's it starting. Be with all your preachers and all the men. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.